Hello? Oh no, she's dead.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
It's all shits and giggles till somebody dies.
Good afternoon. You're live at 5 with me, Natasha Spencer-Levy. This is the evening news. Dun, 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 dun. I'm kidding. Hey, it's me. Welcome back to Death of Funny Business on FUBAR Radio. I'm in the studio today by my own some because Rebecca is in Sweden doing her Swedish things, probably doing sauna and swimming and probably eating some kind of herring, maybe doing a little bit of activities like hiking. I feel like that's very Swedish. And seeing her mother, you know, probably seeing her mother, having a lovely time. I'm going to do the whole show in a really shit Swedish accent. I think it's lovely. It's much more camp German, really. Anyway, welcome. It's a Tuesday. It's 5 o'clock, which means we are gonna talk about death in a studio in somewhere in East London where nobody knows where we are. Yeah. Once again, I've been left with a microphone and I have free will. So I wore a tie. I really enjoy it for those who can see me. Hugh, make a reel. This is my new tie. I'm going to describe it for the audience. It's a navy and cream check, like a gingham, a slight gingham, more like a checkered, a chessboard. And then it has little flowers all inside it with little red bits. I like it very much. I wore it today. Thought I'd be very serious. It's working. Today on the show, we have two guests. We have Jen Hoy, who is an author and of her book, Thick Thighs, Tattoos and Breaking Taboos, which came out last month on what would have been her brother's 50th birthday. He unfortunately passed away. Well, he died of suicide in 2017. And we're going to talk to her about what it was like losing him and what it's been like with her grief story, as we do on this show. And then we have kind of a rogue little guest. Because I'm on my own today, I thought I'd bring a friend. So, my friend Sophie, I actually don't know how to pronounce her last name. Because when I say friend, I mean doppelganger. I met Sophie at a party and she happens to be the spit image of me. Could be twins. This might be the episode where we discover that my long lost twin was all along in Canada. So Sophie's going to come in. Oh, and her grandma died. So it's relevant. Do you know what I mean? She's going to come in, talk about her dead grandma. We're going to talk about what it's like being twins and having this affinity at a party where we literally met. We met and we were like, this is the same person. So how are you all doing? Are you having a nice day? Is everyone well? I hope everyone's been enjoying the weather and has been enjoying the time off from Death Funny Business, because we've actually been off for a few weeks because we had holidays. I went to Spain. It was lovely. I was with my sisters and my stepmom, and it was really nice. Lots of swimming, bit of fish, do you know what I mean? But yeah, we're going to go to a break and then we're going to have Jen Hoy in the on Zoom. I always say that every time. It drives me around the bend. We're going to have her on the show and we're going to talk to her about her new book and, well, yeah, her new book and her brother. So, God bless in a bit.
FUBAR Radio.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
We are joined by Miss Safia. If I could produce you a salt, what is he like on paper? Sound like we're on Love Island.
Okay. On paper, my type has to have a good soul, yeah, good purpose and calm energy. I'm in my energy era where you've just got to come in and make me happy. I don't need you for anything. I want to find happiness and I need him to be kind.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google app stores.
Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
Have you noticed the way fans shout at football matches?
Oh, wake up!
That's because conveying your message with sound is the most effective way to communicate to the players on the pitch that they're rubbish. And this works in advertising too. You see, research shows how brands that use radio to amplify their advertising are 49% more likely to get noticed. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way. From this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
Maura Higgins,
that's a Geordie Shaw thing,
has scrubbed a shitty toilet with her ex-boyfriend's toothbrush. Why did she do this?
He's obviously done something very bad.
Do we know who he is? Does anybody know who he is?
No, but I mean, I don't think he'd want to know who he is.
No.
I think he'd probably go and hide in now, whoever that is.
Mate, if you're listening to this, go and buy a new toothbrush because you've still got the same one.
Get yourself to Turkey and get yourself some veneers because I can't imagine them teeth are going to last much longer.
No.
Politics Uncensored.
We kind of act like COVID didn't happen. Well, do you think it's had a lasting impact, at least on that young generation that experienced it?
The legacy of it in schools, you see the legacy of it in people's mental health. We're seeing the legacy of it even in public services, even in hotels, hospitality. Everything was stripped back to the bone and the UK did not have the resilience to recover. So I think we are still definitely living in a post-COVID society where nothing really works as well as it did. If you think things were damaged by Brexit, things were double damaged by COVID.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
And we are back. And in the studio, no, on Zoom, my goodness, every single time, we have Jen Hoy. Jen, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you for coming to talk to us today. Where are you zooming in from?
From Massachusetts in the US.
Oh, very nice. Thank you for, I'm assuming, waking up a little bit early. What time is it?
It's lunchtime here.
Okay, so not that bad.
Middle of the day.
Are you having a good day?
I am. How about you?
Yeah, so great.
Yours is almost over though, right?
Well, it's 5 o'clock. I got an hour left of work and then I'm going to go home and maybe have a drink or something. I don't know. I had to take off my tie. I was wearing a tie just now, but it got very warm. And I thought, don't want to be really wearing a scarf. But anyway, we're not here to talk about ties. We're here to talk about you. You have a new book, Thick Thighs, Tattoos and Breaking Taboos. By the way, love the name. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your story? What's brought you to write this book? And just give us a little brief vibe.
Well, I lost my brother, Teddy, to suicide in May of 2017, and my entire world was shattered, as happens for anyone who experiences a kind of a life rearranging loss like that. And for the first few years, I wasn't grieving. I wasn't even really living or participating in life, and started healing when I started walking to get away from my family. And through that has become running and advocacy and all the things. And it took me a really long time to realize that we don't get over the death of a loved one. I mean, people always say, when are you going to be over it? Never. We just learn to carry it differently. Mm. And the life that I am living now and the time after is beautiful. And it exists even in the presence of grief. And this book is the book that I wish someone had given me early on in my grief journey, because there are so many expectations or assumptions that I had that were just completely wrong.
And we always kind of start these conversations often if someone has experienced loss. Maybe you'd like to tell us a little bit about Teddy and what he was like, just to keep his memory alive as well.
No, I would love to. I love to talk about my brother, Teddy.
Please tell us.
So my brother, Teddy, was a twin. They were born in 1975 and they were 4 months early. So,
oh my goodness.
Teddy weighed a half a pound and he was the bigger of the two. And his twin, Joseph, didn't survive more than a few hours.
Oh no.
We were 18 months apart. And so I took my job of taking care of my baby brother very seriously. I'm the typical older sister, bossy and all the things. But when my brother needed me, I always had his back. Mm-hmm. And you know, he was born so early. He was always smaller than everyone. So he got bullied a lot. Mm. And my response to that was to stand up for my brother. Mm. But that said, we fought like cats and dogs. I mean, I was probably a terrible big sister. But we were so close. And even into adulthood, we talked or texted every single day. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't one of those things like, oh, I need to text my brother. Like, we were connected. We were always like one unit. Even growing up, when we would get yelled at, it would be Jennifer and Teddy, all one word. Like, we both knew, like, let's just both go in timeout now.
Oh, that's so, so sweet. I mean, I can relate greatly. I am an older sister and I know exactly what you mean. It's like, I love them so much. I would stand in front of a bullet or a train, but oh my gosh, did we fight? My goodness. let's talk a little bit about the book and how you kind of came to write it. Because I suppose this has come out of such a, I mean, even just then, you actually putting it into words, I got a little choked up because I was like, oh God, I actually didn't comprehend the concept of losing my younger sister. That would truly be like the worst thing. And let's talk a little bit about how your grief began and how you kind of have compounded it into this book.
I think a lot about the first few years after losing my brother with a lot of regret. Mm. I don't have a lot of memories from that time. And, you know, Teddy died when my oldest son was in his last year of high school. My daughter was just starting high school. My little one was 5 years old. And I think I don't have a lot of memories. And that makes me sad because that means I probably wasn't being the best mom to my kids either. Mm. I was just angry all the time, so angry. Mm. Mainly at Teddy for leaving. Like, you were supposed to be here. Your sibling is supposed to be your longest relationship in your lifetime.
Yeah.
And people don't think about that. And yet it's one of the only losses that you often feel like you have to qualify. Like, people will say, were you close? It doesn't matter. It's my sibling. Yeah. And we were two halves of one whole. And as much as I hated including him in everything when I was little, like, all of my best memories involve my brother.
For sure.
I remember those first years, I was so, so angry. And one of the ways I have always coped with things is through writing. We grew up in a traditional Italian-American family. We're Sicilian, where you were heard if you were the loudest. And I did not have the loudest voice. And as a girl, as a grandchild, I really didn't have a voice. Mm. But I could write, and I loved to write. So when I started really processing my grief, I started writing and sharing on social media kind of where I was that day with grief. And at first it felt kind of strange, like putting it out there so vulnerably. But then I would hear from people, hey, what you wrote, I needed to hear that today. Like, I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
And I realized that all this time that I was like angry and isolating, like, I didn't need to be, that there were other people like me. And we could support one another. And that's kind of how this started. I am the type of person that when I do something, I'm all in. I don't ever do anything halfway. So when I started walking, eventually my kids were like, hey, like, did you just walk 10 miles today? And I was like, yeah, I guess so. Maybe. And then that became running. And when I got the invitation to apply to run the Boston Marathon for a suicide prevention charity, I thought, well, of course I'm going to apply. Like, we grew up in Boston and my brother loved the city. He loved working on Marathon Monday. I'm going to apply. It didn't occur to me that the Boston Marathon is one of the most difficult marathons. Yeah. And I hadn't run since 1990. I just applied and I was accepted as a charity runner. Oh. And my family said, this is the worst idea we've ever heard.
No.
Now I have to do it. And it's funny, you know, Boston is a magical race in and of itself. But growing up in the city and running my very first Boston Marathon in memory of my brother was beyond special. Yeah. And around mile 24, I thought, I don't think I can finish. I don't think I can do this. And I look in the crowd and I see a woman that I recognized from high school who I hadn't seen in 30 years. And she yells out, Jen Fusco, is that you? And I said, yeah. And she said, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I'm running the race. What does it look like I'm doing? I said, what are you doing here? And she said, well, my husband, he's behind you. And I thought, oh, Teddy, that is all the motivation I needed.
Thank you.
I am not letting Filippo Mastrocola pass the Boston Marathon. And that is literally like the only reason I finished. And I see these signs and I hear my brother.
Oh,
and
yes.
I hear him in my head going like, yeah, he is going to beat you. So hurry up.
Yeah.
And then
not Filippo. Coming down,
you know, the home stretch on Boylston Street over all of the crowd. It is so loud.
Yeah.
You couldn't even hear music if you had headphones on.
Wow.
I could hear my mother screaming my name in her like super thick Boston accent over everybody. And I was hooked.
That's so lovely.
That's kind of how this started. And then each race, I will get a tattoo. And there's a reason for every single tattoo that I have. Everything I do all in. And I always try to think of the meaning behind it. And so that's kind of how this started.
Wow. I love that story. I think that, Teddy totally sent you, Filippo. I was like, nope, he's coming. You better run. Like, don't let that fella beat you. That's wicked. Well, so, and then let's talk about the title of your book a little bit then, because I would love to discuss it's how we kind of got here.
Well, so like I said, I share every morning on social media kind of where I'm at. And it might be related to grief. It might be related to something I'm dealing with or something that somebody else has talked with me about. My only hope in posting is that by being open and being authentic and sharing all of these things that people don't usually like to talk about, that I'm going to break down some of the taboo surrounding mental health and suicide prevention, grief, bereavement, all of these things. And I love coffee. I've always loved coffee. It reminds me of my grandma's house. But most of my mugs are inappropriate. They have swear words and they're just, I enjoy them.
Oh, they make Jen, I like you. I like you a lot. I like Jen. Jen's great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We would so be friends.
When I post my posts, it's always a picture of my coffee mug and my heavily tattooed legs. And my mom said to me, why are you putting your legs on the internet? Like, is this inappropriate? And I said to her, my mom's name is Mary Grace, and I often call her by her first name. I said, Mary Grace.
Mary Grace.
That's what we need to understand. Women are likely reading every word of my post, regardless of what picture I share. But men who die by suicide four times as often as women, they're visual creatures. They're going to stop because there's a swear word on my mug or they see somebody's thigh with a jellyfish tattoo and go, oh. Mm. And then I might get a note that says, hey, I wasn't going to read, but I stopped because I saw that. I said, Mom, men like legs and
thick thighs,
other parts that I probably can't say. And my mom
said, you can say whatever you want, by the way. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. No, well, no. Like, we can fuck butt shit. I don't mind. Wow. That was a lot.
I like that.
Yasmin's like, but producer Yasmin's like, whoa, okay, Dash, roll it in.
So I said, Mary Grace, like boobs, legs, and butts. And uh-huh. I'm not putting my boobs or my butt on the internet.
The boys don't care.
It's my legs. And she said, can you make money from that? And I was like, Mom, that's an OnlyFans, and we're not going there. But for now, like, if the picture of my leg gets somebody to stop and read what I've written and it maybe help them a little bit, then I feel like it'll never make my brother's death worth it.
Absolutely.
But it will matter.
Absolutely. And I mean, this is our whole shtick as well, is that at the end of the day, it sucks. And we're all here just trying to make something of the situation. So on the note of your journey, what has been your biggest lesson, or what are the lessons? You spoke a little bit about how you felt things that you didn't expect to feel completely, and everything that you kind of thought about grief was completely turned upside down and was not what you expected. What about it was like that for you?
Well, I mean, like, I'd always seen the stages of grief.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, so like, what stage am I in?
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the next one because I'm a planner and that's what I do.
Yeah.
And it didn't work that way. You could feel them out of order, you could feel them all at once, the stages as like a linear process is complete garbage, like just total garbage. And I think people don't understand that, and I think also people think, okay, so we had the services and we had our bereavement time and now we're back at work and I can shut it off and that's how it goes, and it doesn't work that way. And even as far as milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, I always think I have a plan. And half of the time, even with a plan, nothing goes according to plan. And just being okay. It's okay to feel all that. And it's okay for your grief to be messy and loud. And you don't have to hide. I wish people didn't feel that they had to, I guess, hide how they were feeling to make other people comfortable.
To take themselves away. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I definitely understand that. I think that's a very British thing as well. Like, oh my goodness, like it's like, oh, I'm fine. What do you mean? I'm absolutely fine. Don't even look at me. I'm all good. So as well, like within the book, are there stories? Is it more about how to kind of handle your grief? What does the book give us?
So in the very beginning, I say this is not a how to heal book. It's not a self-help book. It's a holy crap, grief is messy. I have no idea what I'm doing book. And it's more to make people feel less alone and seen and heard. And, you know, a woman in the suicide prevention community said, you already have a book. Why don't you just publish it? And I said, what are you talking about?
You have
been posting these things every day for years.
Wow.
And think about how it is in terms of like themes. And so each chapter is a different theme. One is like, my brother is a pain in my ass and I don't know how to live without him. And it's a collection of letters that I've written to my brother over the years. And each chapter, I frame it with an introduction and a closing, and heavily edited because when I write on social media, I haven't had my first cup of coffee and I cannot think in straight lines. So there's often a lot of mistakes, but it covers everything from kind of dealing with that life rearranging loss and figuring out your new family dynamic, like things that you didn't think would happen. Like my whole family, we're relearning how to be a family in the absence of Teddy. And we're also relearning how to be ourselves in the absence of Teddy, and how to interact with one another. It's about mental health challenges, both my brother's and my own. And what I have learned through many years of therapy and learning that it's okay to ask for help, that asking for help or reaching out for help is sometimes one of the strongest and most brave things someone can do. It's a lot about running. Running is a huge piece of my mental health toolbox, but I'm also older. I didn't run in 30 years. I'm not a thin, like, ideal runner. I'm slow. I'm back of the pack, and I've been plagued with injuries over the years. And how do I continue to lean on activity as a piece of my mental health toolbox, even when I'm injured? And that has involved learning all sorts of new tools like grounding and resilience and meditation and things that I would have completely rolled my eyes at before.
Yeah.
But I've found that when I'm having a really bad day and I just can't be like, well, you know, it's the middle of the workday, I'm just going to go out for a 6-mile run. I can't do that. So what can I do in those moments? It's about all of the people I've met along this amazing journey. It's about how I struggle with my own self-image as a person, with my body, as a runner. And it's about the people whose memory I've run.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It's a lot.
It is. No, but I really think that this is, I think for me, the most interesting part is the fact that you've been writing like almost a post every day of your experience in real time. And I think that's really fascinating from the aspect of someone who's, I didn't do that. My mum died when I was 7, and I don't have a catalogue of a journey there. And I just think that's a really interesting route of exploration. Yeah, my goodness.
I do think, like, you lost your mom when you were 7, and you're now survived this long.
Yes.
I even think that some of what I'm experiencing, you would go,
for sure.
Even after however many years it's been, I'm sure some days absolutely. It feels like yesterday.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. And I think that, you know, I think we're all kind of, even though everyone grieves differently, I think we're all in it together a little bit. And, you know, the people who understand. And I think that, it's really commendable. This book, I'm definitely going to hopefully get my hands on a copy. I was wondering, you mentioned briefly about the family dynamic and relearning how to live with each other and be with each other after grief. I wonder if you could expand a little bit more on that. I know that I have felt similar way. And I know that for me, that was one of the parts of grieving that was so surprising. I was like, wait, so our relationships are going to change as well? What does that mean?
Everything changes. Yeah. I remember someone saying, you know, be strong for your parents and be strong for your kids. And first of all, whenever somebody loses somebody, the first thing I say is you do not have to be strong.
No.
Because that idea that I needed to be strong for everybody else meant I wasn't processing my own grief. But where it came with my parents and my brother and myself, you know, Teddy and I were a united front always. And on days when maybe, you know, one parent was being a bit much, would text the other and be like, hey, you're up. Like, you'd be the buffer. And, you know, now that our parents are aging, like in my mind, we were always going to be doing this together. It wasn't just going to be me.
Yeah.
And beyond that, you know, my brother was this like sweet, angelic looking little boy with blonde curls. And I was the messy haired tomboy sister. And in my mind, he was the good one. He was had such a gentle heart, and he would help anybody. And I was the bad, like in my mind, everything is separated, you know, black and white, good and bad. And I was why me? Why am I the one here when it would have been, in my mind, easier for my parents, like to have Teddy here? And logically, I get that this is all stuff that my brain makes up to tell me that I don't deserve to be here. But
yeah,
that is a strong undercurrent in my life. And a lot of what I do, I approach because I think about, what would Teddy do? Like, I want to live a life that honors how he lived, not focus solely on how he died. And then in my immediate family with my kids, like, I took that as a wake-up call. Like, we need to communicate better.
Yeah.
We don't communicate. We don't talk about the difficult stuff. And guess what? Now we do. And we talk about absolutely everything. Sometimes I wish they wouldn't tell me so much. But I'm grateful. Like, I remember my oldest was traveling to Italy over a Thanksgiving, and I was beside myself with panic, and I get a text from him that says, "Oh, I left my suitcase at the airport restaurant."
Oh, gosh.
And I called my best friend, and I was like, "Your godson, he's brilliant, but like, look," and she goes, "No, this is wonderful." I go, "What do you mean it's wonderful?" And she said, "Would you have told your mom?"
Aww.
Left your suitcase somewhere? I was like, absolutely not. She goes, "So this is growth." she's not wrong. And no, I love that. Isn't. And as much as I can't go back in time and fix those years that I wasn't healing and I wasn't helping them to heal, we can do better now that we know better.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a good point. I think it's such a big shakeup. I think sometimes it can go either way, where you kind of have, everyone leans into the negative and isolates and runs away. And, or you have a scenario like this where actually something really gorgeous came out of it in a way. And it's not to say that anything was worthwhile, but yeah. And I just wanted to say, just cause Jen, I think you're really cool. And you are good. You know that, right? And I know that we're strangers, and I know that we don't know each other, and it's the first time we've met. But I feel very strongly, like, compelled to tell you that, Teddy was good, and so are you.
I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. Would you like to share any final words of wisdom to anyone grieving currently or soon to be grieving?
Oh, gosh.
Is there any advice you want to pop?
God, I feel like no one should take advice from me. Like, I learn things the hard way.
Mm.
This book will show you. I learned everything the hard way. But whatever you feel, it's appropriate.
Mm.
Don't, you know, and don't be afraid to feel things.
Mm.
It's all normal, even though you may have been told at one point or another that it's not. Like, everything you feel is valid.
Amazing. Jen, where can we find you online? What's your situation? Tell us any charities you want to shout out, whatever you want to do.
Well, so since I can say whatever, I have no filter. And my grandma used to say, I'm like horse crap. I'm everywhere. So I have a website. It's jenniferhoy.com. And the book is available on Amazon. It's free for Kindle Unlimited readers.
Oh.
Also available in paperback. And I'm on social media. My Instagram is, which my kids laugh at, it's jen.and.pen. And you might think that means pen as in writing, but they like to point out, no, it's pen as in Penelope, my favorite child, who is a dog.
Oh, wow. What kind of dog?
She is a rescue. She's part Irish Wolfhound.
Oh, very nice. Well, hopefully someday I'll meet Penelope. Jen, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you.
It was really, really, really lovely. No.
You're pretty darn cool.
Oh, stop it, Jen. Have the best day. And I hope you have the best day in Massachusetts. And God bless. We'll be going to a break. Bye.
FUBAR Radio. Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Danny Harmer, hello.
Thank you, what an introduction.
I heard in an interview, this may no longer be the case, but in 2020 you said you never actually read the original Tracy Beaker.
I've still never read it, and I'm gonna go down with this ship, and quite frankly, I shall never read it. I've got this far in life. And do you know what? I think it's kind of, in a weird way, I think it helped me get the part, because I had no idea of this character apart from the character that I made her.
You're listening to Foo Bar Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Foo Bar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for Foo Bar Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores.
Yeah. The Foo Bar Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
When you go abroad, everyone knows the best way to make yourself understood is to just say everything in English, but louder.
Four beers, please, garçon!
If only there was a way that could work with your advertising campaign. Well, there is. And you're listening to it. Because when you amplify your advertising with radio, 40 million listeners every week get the message. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
You might then see friends, family that require a little bit of support, financial advice. How do you go about sharing that advice, sharing that support without being condescending?
A practical tip that everyone can do that is low friction, send them financial content that you like. If you have a favorite content creator, if you see an article that you like, send them the video and just ask them, what do you think? And then that can begin a conversation around it.
What the Health with Georges Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
I'm joined by Alex Mitten, retreat host and mentor.
I think a lot of people are lonely, surrounded by people at the minute. Like, you know, especially living in London, there's fucking people everywhere. But we sort of live these quite strange lives now where we're quite closed down emotionally, you know, even just like with our voice. We don't really speak that often sometimes, do you know what I mean?
Death, a funny business on Foo Bar Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
Oh, Jen was so lovely. I really enjoyed talking to her. But now we have a new guest. My doppelganger all the way from Canada. Sophie. Don't lost your last name. How do you say your last name?
Reisner.
Reisner. Okay, let's tell everyone a bit about our story and why you're here today.
So funny.
Because this is creepy. Everyone in the office is creeped out. We'll put a thing on Facebook. We'll put a thing on Facebook because we're 250,000 years old. Sophie is my twin, and we met at a party
It was in, like, what, May? Yeah. April? When's Eurovision?
I don't know.
It was around whenever
you're March.
No, it wasn't in March.
No. May.
I think it must have been in April or May.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
This is great content. Yeah. Anyway.
Sorry. It's like fascinating stuff.
We met at a party and Soph walked in through the door and both of us looked at each other and had some kind of out of body experience where we were like, am I looking in a mirror?
It was this freaky. So freaky. It was really freaky.
She really does look like my twin or my sister. Like, we definitely could be like, we're 100% related. Then we did the whole like, hold on, where are you from? Yeah, How old are you? You're 25, I'm 25.
Yep.
When's your birthday?
March 24th.
Okay. Mine's December 25th. Mine's December 17th.
Okay.
What's your star sign?
Aries. What's your star
sign? I'm a Sagittarius, so both fire signs.
I get on really well with Sagittarius.
Yeah, because you're an Aries.
Yeah, of course.
I licked the microphone. Ew, gross. Anyway.
Yes, and it was weird and creepy. It was, and we were wearing the same outfit.
We were wearing the same outfit. We have the same hair. Yeah. We're both Jewish.
We're both short. Well, we're both half, aren't we?
Yeah.
You're half.
Dad's not.
My dad's not Jewish either.
See, both of our moms.
Which is weird and creepy.
This is what I'm saying. I also, for those who didn't know, this is what's even creepier. I had a twin in the womb. Talking about grief. According to my parents and the doctors, I did absorb my twin, but I'm not convinced now because over in Canada,
maybe you were being premature.
You were being, or your birth certificate is just a lie.
Well, I do look a lot like my mom. And we did compare pictures of our moms, and they don't look similar at all.
It's
which
really
is
weird.
Really weird.
Well, this is what
Are you a natural blonde?
No.
Okay.
Are you a natural
blonde? I am.
Fuck you. I mean, I am a natural blonde. I'm not brunette. Do you know what I mean?
No. It's mousy. Looks very natural.
It would come out like yours, I think.
Yeah.
To be fair. It's just...
You think I have mousy hair? This is incredibly blonde.
Sorry, now we're just talking about hair.
Sorry.
Crazy. But yeah.
But it was weird and freaky.
So weird and freaky.
So weird and freaky. And everybody else was freaked out. And the first time I met the friend whose party it was that we met at, he was like...
Our best friend Cass.
Our best friend Cass. Yeah, he was like, you look just like my friend Tash.
Well, he told me, and Cass, love you, Cass. He doesn't listen to the show.
That's actually rude.
I know, right? None of my friends do. No, I'm kidding. Love you. No, Cass told me, and I was like, sure. Cass likes to exaggerate
sometimes.
That's
what I thought. I was like,
I'm
okay.
Like, yeah, whatever, Cass. Also, it's like, I don't remember the last time Cass ever was like, oh yeah, I looked at a girl for a long time and made like note of her face. I was like, sure, like you glanced at her and then you were like that. She looks like Tash. No,
we
sat at this party for like easily an hour.
Really creepy.
Really, like really uncomfortable, but couldn't stop laughing.
And like at the same time, laughing in the same pitch, doing the same hand gestures. Like people would come in who I didn't know anybody at this party except for Cass.
Yeah.
So like come in, don't know anybody. Meet my twin.
Oh.
And your friends were like coming up to us and being like, what the fuck?
Well, on Sunday, you met my ex-girlfriend.
Yes, I did.
Who was very uncomfortable and was like, why are there two of you? This is not
fun. We should have done more with that.
I know.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, Sophie, I was already like holding on. I was white knuckling it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you should have been like, come on, let's fuck shit up. And I would have been like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, sorry, I wasn't.
We should have just like crept out the bathroom, stand there, wait for her to come in.
That would have been really creepy.
Yeah, imagine.
Or like.
Okay, next time. Yeah.
Next time. That's what we'll work on. We'll
you had
out
it here first.
Right, for that.
Ex-girlfriend, not going to say your name, just so you can keep your anonymity. Watch the fuck out.
Perfect.
So, but you are here.
I am here.
Because at the end of the day, this is a show about death. And I saw you on Sunday.
Yeah.
And you said to me, I thought of you the other day. My grandma died. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Why did you come on the show?
And I said, really?
And I was like, yeah, let's do it.
And here I am.
And here you are.
Yep. My
Tell
grandma
us.
Did die.
Who was grandma?
So my grandmother's name was Colleen.
Great name.
And she died. Great name, right?
Great.
Colleen. And she died in July.
Mm.
I think the 8th of July. She lived in Canada. She's my dad's mom.
Mm.
So not the Jewish side, the WASPy side.
Right.
And she was 97.
Good for Colleen.
I know, right?
That's a good one.
For that side of the family, that's young. Like, people
really?
In that side of the family are living to, like, 110.
See, my Jewish side,
really?
They all live to, like, 104.
I feel like that's rare. I feel like...
Yeah, because we're all sickly and ill.
Yeah.
Inbuilt little genie problems, don't we?
There's
like
much...
The incesty thing. Yeah. That's probably why we look alike.
That might be
why. That's probably it. We're actually promoting something.
Where's your family from? What part of Europe?
Russia and Poland.
Okay. So similar.
Yeah. Where are you, like,
Eastern
European?
It's hard to track, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Like, they were in Poland. They were in, like, what's
Well, also,
Ukraine
you're in Canada.
Now?
And, like, who knows? Like,
well, they were in the States. My mom
States.
Was born. So, my mom was born in the States. Sorry, I just hit the microphone.
It's okay.
If everybody heard that.
Don't worry.
But my grandmother, Colleen. Yeah. So,
yes,
she was 97. She was from an island called the Manitoulin Island,
Ooh.
Which is a beautiful, it's, like, the biggest freshwater island in the world. From, like, a little farming community.
Wow.
And she was my dad's mother. Married to my grandpa for a really long time. He died in his 80s. So in he died in 2007. And they had four sons together. And then their four sons between them had nine children. And she had, she had nine grandchildren. And she had, I think, as of this week... 13 great-grandchildren.
Holy
I might have the number totally wrong. There's a ton of them.
Are you great-grandchild or grandchild?
I'm a grandchild. Youngest grandchild.
Aww,
I was the baby.
You were the baby.
I was a surprise.
You were a surprise.
Yeah.
She really was a surprise because she was stolen from London and shipped to Canada.
Exactly.
So there she was.
Yeah.
A true surprise. So you're early in your grief. Have you ever experienced grief before?
Oh, yeah. I have older parents. Did we talk about... You have older parents too, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So my dad is 74.
Okay.
And my mom is 70, so...
Wait, whoa.
Yeah.
They're even older than my dad.
They're
my dad's,
really old.
I mean, to be fair, my dad's 68, so...
That's...
It's a similar vibe.
How old would your mom be?
Oof, fudge cakes. She was 47 when she died. It's been 90. Somebody do math. No, it's not been 18. She'd be like,
how old were you when she died? You were
seven.
So she was 40 when she had you.
Yes.
So my mom was 45 when she had me, for reference.
So she'd be,
5 years younger than my mother is now.
25.
No. My mother's 70, no. So your okay. mom would be okay. 65, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Is that good math?
That is fine.
Yes.
We'll do that. We'll say it's that.
Yeah.
Someone else can do the math later.
So they're older parents. So my grandma Colleen was the last of my grandparents living, but all of my grandparents were alive when I was born. So my mom's mom died when I was 3.
Mm.
And then both of my grandpas died in 2007.
Mm.
So she sort of outlived everybody by like a
good
lot.
Good for her.
Good, right? Good for her.
Go, Colleen. She was like, I'm going to have some time, Mama.
Yeah. And she was really like, lucid. She was really active, like for a 97-year-old.
What did she do?
She was a school teacher.
Slay.
What yeah. queen. She taught grade 1.
Nice.
And she was a librarian.
Huge.
Which is like very grandma chic of her
Stop
to do.
It.
Right?
So grandma chic. What a queen.
Yeah, she was awesome.
How have you been feeling in your grief?
Ups and downs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I imagine being away is hard.
Yeah. Well, so she was in the hospital, and they basically called me and were like, come home. She's, like, gonna die. And I was like, okay. So I got on a plane, and she died while I was at the airport.
Oh,
so they were like, come
hell.
Back, say goodbye. They thought she had another week. But it was really, like, out of... I mean, I know she was 97.
But it just happened.
She had just bought
quickly.
A ton of new shoes. Like, she'd been shopping. Like, she had
like,
outfits planned.
I got shoes ready. I'm going to a party.
Yeah. So it was a surprise for, Aww. Like... Is
no,
it?
No, I get you. Know you.
Like, she was
no,
97,
I get you.
But, like...
Well, it's not like
we
she had some, like, disease where she
no,
was, like,
she was
dying
fine.
For 6 months. Yeah.
She died of an intestinal blockage.
Oh.
Which I didn't know you could
wow.
die from. But you can if you're 97.
Okay, well, yeah. They are, like, paper thin at that point.
Yeah.
Everyone's, like, kind of falling apart a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah, but she was really, like, fine. Like, she was really
yeah.
with it. She was pretty active. Mm. Like, she was in good shape, which I think is the way to do it, to be honest. I wouldn't want to be, like, I'd rather be like that and then go suddenly, I think.
Yeah,
100%. I don't know if that's...
Oh, yeah.
That's, yeah.
I mean, I would as well. I don't want to be dying for like 6 months.
Yeah.
That would be gross. I want to buy a whole bunch of shoes and then die.
Right?
That would be great.
But she didn't get to wear the shoes.
Well, that's really annoying, but at least you had like at least you kind of had the joy of buying.
Well, shoes. They still had the receipts so they returned
no,
them.
No, you're kidding.
Yeah, cuz my aunt took her shopping and she returned all the shoes.
She was like, "Well, I'm going to get my money back." It's
right?
ridiculous.
Cuz she was like, "Come on, Colleen, I'll take you shopping." And then she Aww. Was like, I like helped go through her stuff and they were like, "Can you get the shoes?"
Get the shoes.
And there was some other new clothing and people were like, "Can you just give
just on the slide. We don't want it to be too like on
they,
the nose.
Like people knew, but it was just like let's not like talk yeah, about it too much. But like I do want to get my $100 back.
Yeah, that is fair. That's a lot of shoes. Well,
Canadian money, so
Canadian
it's like
money,
nothing.
So it's not.
It's like one pair of shoes.
One pair of shoes. So when you're saying shoes, she bought
no, she bought a more than $100 worth of shoes.
Whoa.
I think she bought like two or three pairs of shoes.
Colleen,
yeah,
she was ready to go.
Well, she was gonna. So my cousin's getting married in the fall, so she was like buying outfits for his wedding.
Oh,
so we all thought she was like totally gonna. I mean, I thought she was gonna be 100. So it was.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
How do you feel having older parents?
Sad.
Yeah.
Especially my grandma dying.
When
like
it kind of like is very in the
yeah,
forefront.
I don't know how you feel about it, but like we were at the graveyard and they were like putting her casket in the ground. And like
nice.
I looked at my dad and his brothers and it was like,
uh-oh.
These are the oldest people now. Yeah. And they're really old. Like I looked at my dad and I was like, that's an elderly person.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was weird.
Yeah. So I have like an honorary granddad. Called Ray. Everyone knows Ray. We're going to talk about Ray, guys. And he's 82. And he's only been like my honorary granddad, I'd say, for like the last 6 years. He was, so I live where my granddad lived, and he's like my granddad's best friend.
Aww.
And then Ray's wife died like a few years ago. She was kind of like granny. That was really hard. But Ray is 82. And Ray is like probably my best friend. I see him
Aww.
Like twice a week.
He's young.
Yeah, for sure. But then there was like this moment where I was like, fuck, I've like made this relationship with this person that I now really care about.
Yeah.
And he's not got long. I was like,
does Ray listen to this?
No, he actually, I don't think he likes it. I think this is a bit much for him.
Okay.
Like he can deal with it. I think like the thing is, he's actually really liberal in a way.
Yeah.
He like goes to Grief Cafe, and he goes to see the therapist and stuff like that. Like, he's happy to talk about it, and he tells me that he's had a bad day, and I'm like, thank you for letting me know. That's good of you. He's like, I'm just feeling very sad today. But I think the concept of me, like, sitting here and talking about death and like also sex and love and boys and like and saying the word fuck a lot. He doesn't even like it when I say the word fuck. So yeah, not a big fan. Yeah. But yeah, it's a really interesting thing when you have generational.
Because I mean, your dad's 68, so that's
God. Yeah, and my dad's just been really unwell.
Has he?
Yeah, my dad's had the big C. But he's okay, which is great. But I was like, I literally said to my dad, I was like, excuse me. Yeah, please can you not die right now? It'd be really, really inconvenient for me.
Yeah.
And he was like, he laughed. So that's good. But my sister did not find it funny. I was like, I'm being serious. It would be it's now a bad time. Be really, really bad time for me. Could you just like give it a bit?
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, maybe wait for mum's anniversary. Just hold on a little, you know, touch wood anyway. But yeah, so brutal, grief is new for you.
Yeah, I think grief as an adult is new for me. Like, I remember my grandma dying when I was 3. Because we were at Shakespeare. Me and my mother were at Shakespeare in the Park. We got home. She got a phone call. And we were meant to be going to a party, like a work party for her. And so she, like, sat me down. And she was like, my mom, like, mommy's mommy has died. And I was like, cool.
That sucks.
The party's really soon, though.
That's the same as me. Like, my mom died on the Saturday, and on the Sunday I went to a birthday party and went to see Ratatouille at the cinema, and I was like, I'm still going. Like,
You're a kid.
Yeah,
I was like, I don't care, I picked out my outfit, and then I had a tantrum, and like, my poor mother, I was like, you suck, I want to go to this party.
Well, we have like not very long left, but I was thinking,
yeah,
as a thought, as I'm sitting here, you're new to grief.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I tell you some things that I think would be helpful.
Sure.
And then we can get like a Sophie update, like through the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
And you can tell us how it's all going. And you can tell us like, oh yeah, I cried today.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, so first of all, feel your feelings, always.
Yeah.
No one grieves the same. I think that's a pretty standard one. What else do we like to say? Oh, keep their memory alive. Mm. Tell everyone about Colleen. Colleen sounds like an absolute G.
Yeah, it's weird though, because I feel like people don't, and you, I guess this is why you have the podcast, because like, people don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, well, this is your mission,
like,
your new mission as a Death of Funny Business side character.
Perfect.
Is to spread the good word.
Okay, great.
Tell everyone about Colleen. But yeah.
Yeah.
How are you excited for grief?
No. Is anyone excited?
I don't know, man. Like, I'm not excited, but I don't know. I guess excited is the wrong
excited,
word.
Excited.
Anticipatory.
I feel like I am in it already. It was weird being in Canada and then coming back. Because, like, I kind of felt like I dealt with it. I was like, I'm good. And then we touched down in the UK and I was like, I was walking through the airport, like, just, like, sobbing. It was so weird because I was like, oh, it's real now. Because I'm back to real life. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
And like, nobody here knows her. Like, when I was there, I was with my family.
It's like, I guess as well, like, being away, you've kind of got two separate situations. Like, 100%.
I'm like, I have to go back to work. And I was like, I kind of just want to like...
Not do that. What do you do for work?
So many things. I'm a nanny.
Right.
I work at a pottery painting cafe.
I fucking love... Like, that's my dream job.
Come!
No, I'm not even fucking kidding. I've got 30 seconds left and we have to wrap up. Listen, Tabby, she's my twin. She's my freaking twin. My sister knows I fucking love pottery painting. And on that bombshell, we are going to have to wrap up. But Sophie, it was so fun talking to you today. Thank you so much to Jen. I was thinking about how joyful Jen is. Thank you so much to Jen. And Sophie's going to keep us in the loop about her grief. And you got to come on again.
I would love to come on again.
I want it to be a constant thing. We love you.